For today's scripture reading, it's Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be with witness. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Don Thalman. But what can I do?
Good morning, church. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Of fun surprises, especially for our tech team. So, and that's honestly, most people don't realize there's people back there in the booth until there's tech issues. But I think they need a hand. They really work hard back there. All right. Yeah, now you can hear me. All right. Well, we'll get these, continue to work out the bugs. I appreciate your patience ongoing. And thank you so much for being here with us today. Whether you're in person or joining us online, I'm so glad you're here. This is week 5 of our 5-part sermon series entitled 5 to Thrive. It's an in-depth study of the 5 different offerings that we as United Methodists are asked to provide to support the church and the kingdom. And there we go, in our growth. If you missed week 1 or any of the previous weeks, you can go ahead and go to our website, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and you can go ahead and review those and get caught up. But let's see. But I wanted to give you a quick summary and kind of catch us up so we're on the same page. First, the 5 offerings that we're asked to give are our prayers, our gifts, our presence, our service, and our witness. All right. Week 1, Pastor Pamela talked about the power of prayer and how prayer is not just about relationship with God, but relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next, in week 2, I was up here and I talked about the importance of gifts. And together we discussed how living a generous life is a necessity in order to achieve any spiritual growth. Because just like the Sea of Galilee, if you remember the example, our souls are most alive when we're letting God's blessings flow through us instead of just to us. Week 3, the youth were up here, and they gave an awesome message on how important it is, not just for the church, but for us individually, to be in the presence of each other for worship and for fellowship. And the example they used is if you're grilling outside in charcoal, and you've got a nice white-hot pile of charcoals there, you pull one off to the side, these stay nice and hot, but the one that's separated will cool down very quickly. The moment you put it back with the other coals in the pile, it heats right back up again, and how easy it is for us as individuals when we're separated from other believers to cool off. Last week, Brody Thalman was up here and he spoke about the offering of service, and that for service to be truly an offering, it's not just about helping others and doing good things. It's about helping others and doing things for the right reasons. You're doing it for God and you're doing it for others and not for selfish purposes. Anything done for selfish purposes, that's great that you still did something good, but that doesn't really impact your standing in the kingdom. And that service really is something that should become a culture as a church and as individuals, not something that we do, you know, once a year, twice a year, during certain times. And that brings me to today's message about witness. Of the five, we've got prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I think witness is the one that scares us the most. Would you agree? And how many of you would rather scrub the kitchen floor or plunge the toilet then go next door or meet up with someone and talk to them about the love of Jesus Christ? A lot of people just aren't comfortable doing these things, taking that initiative. Maybe they're a little more introverted, and they don't feel comfortable bringing up the topic of Christ. They're okay talking about it, but maybe not initiating those type of conversations. We avoid them. The act of witnessing scares us. It pushes us outside of our comfort zones. But does it have to push us outside our comfort zones? Let's take a look at witness. First of all, witness is a big part of what helps us be successful in our mission as a church. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we know it well. It's known as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So yes, around here we talk about loving God and loving people, but part of doing both of those is to work on making disciples for the kingdom, growing disciples, growing in faith to improve the strength of our disciples for the kingdom. This is what Jesus has commanded of us. So love God. He wants everyone to be saved. You know, if we're loving God, we are working for his purpose. And love people. Don't we want our brothers and sisters to be saved? Do we want anybody to be left out? If we truly love them, then we have to drive ourselves to reach out to them. And of course, guess what? One of the main parts, the first parts of making a disciple is, if they haven't been invited into our doors, it's hard for them to become disciples. So witness is one of the first steps that we need to take to grow disciples. And looking at the scripture above, notice that we talked about before. Notice the instructions Jesus gave us. He didn't say, build it and they will come. Although that was a really good baseball game earlier this week, wasn't it? Those that remember the original movie. It's not a build it and they will come thing. We built this great big building, and it's not just because we build it doesn't mean that the doors are going to be flung open and people are going to crowd this place. He said, go and make disciples. We have to go and talk to people, interact with people, invite people to come in to the building. This isn't a build it and they will come. It takes witness to get people to come and commit to Christ. The Great Commission, making disciples, that is the mission statement of Ocoee Oaks. It's also the mission statement of the United Methodist Church as a whole. It's about instructing us to witness. We've talked a lot about witness, witness, witness. Again, what if you're an introvert? What if you're not comfortable? We're all different. Some, or actually most of us, are just so uncomfortable doing this. So what can we do? Where is our part in all of this? Well, I want to get back and talk about the scripture for the day. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So what power was Jesus talking about here? And you know he was talking to us, not just to his disciples. He was talking to each one of us when he said this. Well, in addition to knowledge and having the scriptures written on our hearts, things of that sort, the power of the Spirit also gives us our spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us our spiritual gifts or special talents in order to make a difference as long as we engage these gifts for the good of the kingdom. So there's a lot of scriptures throughout the New Testament that talk about the spiritual gifts. I've selected one of them that has a handful of them in just to give you an idea, maybe a refresher. Romans 12, verses 6 and 8 says, We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is generosity, then be generous. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So yes, we all have different gifts. And when we all get together and use those gifts consistently for the common purpose, great things can happen. We all have different strengths. So because of this, here's some good news for the majority of us, I think. We don't need everyone here and everyone watching on the stream to go door to door and start handing out brochures about, you know, the love of Christ. I don't know if that really works well anyway. I don't know how many people have been converted by all those visits we tend to get. Some of us might be great with bringing up that testimonial conversation with our neighbors or even strangers. But the main emphasis of today's message, though, is focused a bit more on the rest of us. Those of us that may be towards the other end of that spectrum, where just planting the seeds might be our primary job. And what do I mean by planting seeds? That could be as simple as sharing a Koy Oaks Facebook posts so that more people are exposed to the message at a Koy Oaks. So if you are Facebook friends with a Koy Oaks, and I'm going to hatchet and butcher a lot of these terms. So, but if you're Facebook friends with a Koy Oaks, if you get our posts, share and like them. More people will then see it. And you know, you don't know what someone else might be feeling at any given time. And it might be someone you know, it might be someone you don't know that sees a post that you forwarded out of from a Koy Oaks and it just hits them right. Other people are planting seeds too, and so this one might be the one that gets them through whatever challenge they're having. It could be thinking of someone, planting seeds could be thinking of someone when you hear a message here and something resonates with you and you know you got a friend struggling in that area. Copy the link and send it to them. Talk to them about it afterwards. Invite them to watch a message. Or if you're doing a daily devotional and it really hit home and you know a friend is struggling, send it to them. They don't have to be Christians yet in order to get meaningful and comfort from devotions or from messages. That's the whole point. That's planting seeds to help people move closer and closer to making the decision to see what this is about. Or maybe to return to church after years, possibly, of not being a believer. The biggest thing, though, each one of us can do to consistently plant seeds, we can do it all day long. And you don't have to be an outgoing person to do it. Just demonstrate the love of Christ. Live out the example that Christ gives us day in, day out, the way you treat people. Demonstrate Christ's love. Show them through your life what it means what Christ, the love of Christ is about. An example could be our partner in ministry. Many of you know our Pinedale partner, Nathan, Pastor Nathan out there. This Pastor Nathan doesn't go door to door, banging on doors, preaching at the people, all these non-believers, the people that still believe in the medicine man. He doesn't go there and start preaching at them and quoting scripture and yelling at them and telling them to come figure it out what this church thing is about. Come on, you've got to know this. He doesn't do that. What he does is he shows them the love of Christ. He brings them firewood when they're freezing. He brings them food when they're hungry. He comes with comfort when they're struggling. He's there for them, constantly showing them the love of Christ. And once they realize, and each time he's there, that seed just takes a little bit more root. And eventually, many of them have come to the point where they are now congregants in his church. They've lost their families because a lot of their families are still with the medicine man and the old religion. And so they've been disowned, and yet because they were shown the love of Jesus Christ day in and day out from other people, they weren't preached at. They were simply shown the love of Jesus Christ. They are now Christian. How about an example closer to home? A few years back, how many remember the Outrageous Generosity program we had for a while? We were out at the street corner. Let me see where I'm at. Right up here. Handing out cold bottles of water. We went ahead and just put a scripture on it that most of them fell off because when the bottles started to sweat, the sticker came off, but that's okay. We're handing out these bottles to people sitting at the red lights. And of course, they thought we're trying to sell something. Nope, it's free, just like the love of God, just like grace, it's free. Oh, thank you. Well, here, let me give you a couple dollars. No, we're not going to accept money. This isn't a fundraiser. We just want to give it to people. Those bottles were seeds. And I don't know how many of you know this, but because of one of those bottles, we had a family in our church as church members, I think for like 7 or 8 years until they moved out of state. Just handing out a bottle. And because of their experience, because what they'd been exposed to up to that point, because what they were exposed to afterwards, and the work that the Holy Spirit was doing in their lives, the work that God was doing in their lives at the time, that bottle took root, that seed took root, and they came in and became disciples here at Akoi Oaks. Remember that actions speak louder than words. So couldn't the strongest part of witnessing be how others see us living our lives? Think about that. According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Kind of exciting, but kind of scary too, isn't it? Sometimes we get so busy trying to do all of these things for the kingdom, but maybe we don't remember to keep ourselves in check. Maybe we get so busy that we don't behave the way that Christians maybe should. We can look like hypocrites to non-believers who are watching us, couldn't we? Have you ever seen that happen in some of these big religious leaders in the country, televangelists? That suddenly it comes to light that their personal life isn't in line with their persona they're projecting. And non-believers use those examples to point, see, this is why I'm not a Christian. Because that's what Christians are. No, that's not what Christians are. We are all sinful men and women and children of God. We're sinful. We'll make mistakes, and there's no question. We're not perfect. If we were perfect, none of us would need to be in this room, right? We will make mistakes. But it's about remembering and keeping in mind, whose jersey are you wearing? When people know you're a Christian, you represent Christ to non-believers around you. And if someone's watching and they're a non-believer and they've got your eye on you to think, I wonder what this thing is about, they're watching your behaviors. If they see your life full of joy, if they see you working your way through struggles in a positive way, if they see you drawing on the power and the comfort that Christ gives us, they'll want that. They'll want that. They'll crave that. We are all cities on a hill. There's a quote attributed to Tim Tebow back when he was in the locker room playing with the Denver Broncos. One of his receivers had been behaving badly. And Tebow, being the leader and the great man of faith that he is, and he went up to him and said, "Look, man, you got to stop that. You're a role model." And the guy said, "What do you mean I'm not a role model?" He said, "Yes, you are. You're just a really bad one. But you are a role model. People are watching you. You can do better." And we as Christians, the non-believers around us, this is the easiest way for us to witness, is by living out our lives the way that we know Christ would want us to, that God wants us to each and every day. Non-believers around us will be drawn to that. There's a story. I think I've used it a few years back on another topic, but it's such a good story. I'm going to repeat it. It's a story about a police officer who was stopped at a light, a car right in front of him, and the car had all these bumper stickers on the back, you know, "God is my co-pilot," and all this stuff, and had the little cross and the fish and all this stuff plastered all over the back of the car. And just as the light turned green, the driver's window was down, and the woman driver started just yelling all kinds of horrible language at the teenager's neck in the car next to him. So next thing the woman knows, the police officer's lights go on. He pulls her over. "And ma'am, can I have your license, driver's license and registration?" "Sure." So he goes back, he goes to his car, he comes back again, hands it back to her. She said, "Well, why'd you pull me over?" He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I was concerned this might be a stolen vehicle." Her actions and behaviors did not match her statement about being a Christian. So what can we do? What can we do to impact and witness to the world when we are such a small part of it, when we are, some of us, a little more introverted? I've got a poem here. It's not much of a poem, a little short story. Who knows who really said it, but the story is attributed to a monk from about 1100 AD. It says, "When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found out I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I then just tried to help my family. Now, as I'm a very old man, I realize the thing I can change is myself. And suddenly, I realized had I changed myself early, through my example, I could have changed at least some of my family. And through their example, they could have changed some of the town. And through their example, they could have changed the nation and the world." He was saying that it's not about pounding on doors and cold calling people. He should have started out his ministry by allowing the light of the Holy Spirit that's within him to shine bright. And through this, his family would have done the same. And the light could have been passed on to the world. What about opportunities? They just don't seem to come up. Actually, we're faced with opportunities all the time. But you have to pay attention, be watching for opportunities. I'd like to show you a short video. It's called "Work is Worship." See if we can get it up and running. Except when you're watching this, I'd like you to think of the word worship and witness, you'll see that they're really interchangeable in this video. And it talks about worship at work, but work could be anything outside these doors. It could be when you go to the grocery store. It could be at your homeowner association meeting. It could be talking with neighbors. It could be when you're going to school. It could be anything, anywhere, anytime. So are we able to get the video? She's trying. If I could tap dance, now would be the perfect time. All right. What's up? No volume? We'll give it just another second. I'm sorry, folks. They're scrambling back there. Well, all right. Well, I could talk about this, and if they can get it up here in just a second. The idea here is that everywhere you go, oops, sounds like we might have something. No, that's okay, Belle. Everywhere you go, there's an opportunity to set an example and witness. This talks specifically about work, and why is it that when we leave those doors on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, why is it that our focus on God leaves us? When we're at work, obviously some of us that work in areas where we can't bring up the topic of God, but that doesn't mean we can't set examples. There was a good friend of ours that they used to work in our youth group program. And she came one time and she was talking about the fact that she was quite offended because she was at work with someone she worked closely with for a very long time. And it turns out this person, this coworker, was going through a tough time. And she needed someone to talk to. She wanted someone, another Christian, to talk to about it. So she said, she went to her and said, "Are you a Christian?" And this woman said, "Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a cross necklace. I've got this. I've got you, right?" And so they sat down, they talked, and she helped her. And for a minute, she felt really good. And then she thought about it later and said, "How is it that we've been working together all these years?" And she wasn't sure if I was a Christian. How is that possible? Have I not been demonstrating on a daily basis the love of Jesus Christ to those around me? It should have been a no-brainer, especially from another Christian. They should have recognized it. It should not have been a question. Every day, everywhere, we have the chance to set an example and to be that example to people. We never know where they are, and how many seeds have already been planted. If we just stay focused and pay attention to those that God is putting in our path, and we're being put in their path. Allowing the light to shine through us is the most important part of witness. And it can make witnessing so much less scary, because people are drawn to this light. They are drawn to this light, so if we let it shine, you don't have to always approach people when you're witnessing. When some of the seeds start to take root, they will approach you. They will open the doors for discussion. And this makes the situation so much more comfortable, wouldn't it? If you really feel called, God, I know I'm not doing this very well, just help me. And so you're working on this, and someone comes to you and say, hey, you know, I just want to talk to you about this Christ thing. Isn't it a whole lot easier to talk to them if they bring it up? And it makes it so comfortable. It's no longer about you or me pushing a tough conversation. It's about us answering their questions and being supportive of them and helping them and loving them. So let's say that you've been letting your light shine brightly, and let's say someone is drawn to that light and they come up to you and they say, why God? I haven't been to church since I was 10 years old. Why God? I don't know. I don't remember. What church do you attend? And why? You say you love that church. Why do you love that church? I had a bad experience in church. Why do you love yours? Are you ready for those questions? Have you thought about these questions? Are you ready to respond to questions like that so that your words do justice to the way you've been living your life to help them? If you get them to the point where they're ready to open themselves up to a conversation, and then we're not ready to talk about it. Great thing is, for the next few weeks, Pastor Josh Taylor is going to be giving us some great information about the truth, about God, the truth of the Bible. And it's going to be a great experience, and I hope we all can make it. Thank you.